I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weekends always start early at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, and right now we're going to open our show with heading out to the Big 12 Conference and zero in on the TCU Horned Frogs, the men's basketball team, as they are off to a fantastic start. They are 10-0, and they will face UTSA on Saturday night in Fort Worth. Joining us on our celebrity guest line is TCU's head coach, Trent Johnson. Of course, he is driven by Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE Athletes Network. There is no off-season at SCORE, at score.com. How are you? Good evening, Trent. It's nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well as up until this point.
Well, congratulations. We got to tell all of our listeners the good news that's happening in Fort Worth. Congratulations on just this amazing start to the 2014-2015 season. You guys are 10-0. You've got this unblemished record. And you have, when you start breaking it down, you guys have been dismantling opponents. The Frogs only need, let me throw this out there, they only need three more wins to tie Oklahoma State for the 10th best start in Big 12 conference history. What has been the key, Coach, to this incredible turnaround?
Well, the key has been, number one, we're healthy up to this point. Obviously, with the injuries of Alan Fields and Devonta Adams last year, took a lot out of our team. Not to mention the fact about other numerous injuries. And then, Chris Washburn, Trey Zilley, were two young men who we had sitting out. And then with the addition of Kendrick Williams and Chauncey Collins from a recruitment standpoint, it just helped. So that's enabled us to be more competitive in practice and be able to just to compete at a pretty good level when it comes to game time.
You've established yourself as a team that cannot be taken for granted, and you break down just the numbers and the metrics, and you guys have really been relentless defensively. You've done an excellent job on the defensive end of the court. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, I think we have the ability to be very solid defensively at the point of attack and rebound the basketball and take care of the ball versus certain people. And so up until the point, we've been pretty consistent in that regard. Obviously, the key in any basketball team, but let alone this one, and the good teams I've had in the past have been pretty consistent in terms of their ability to defend with a sense of urgency, rebound. And then when you go the other way, you can go as fast as you want, as long as you take care of it and take good shots.
Yeah, you guys are definitely doing a good job of pursuing the basketball in terms of with the rebounding. But defensively, I mean, that's a big part of Trent Johnson's identity with the programs you have coached in the present and in the past. How do you get the guys? How do you get them to buy in? I mean, we all love to play offense. We like to get up and down the floor. But how do you get them down in a defensive stance and to lock in and tighten those screws?
Well, again, I think you just have to be consistent. Other than I think kids in general have to understand this. They study sports, regardless of what the sport is. That gives you a chance to win at a high level versus good teams. The ability to defend and rebound, and I'm a firm believer in getting kids to understand, getting teams to understand. You can't let what happens offensively dictate your approach to the game in terms of how aggressive or non-aggressive you're going to be, and also you can't let that dictate, how well you're going to play. You look at the good teams, you look at the good players, they do a lot of things that go unnoticed to impact winning, whether it's a 50-50 ball, whether it's taking a charge, whether it's making the pass at least to the pass, at least to the basket. And so, for the most part, I think, those guys who have been around me now going into 2.5 years, like Keenan Anderson and obviously Trey Zivis played a lot of basketball years. I think, it takes time for guys to get to understand it. But also, the bottom line is your mental toughness. And how are you going to react when you're playing against good people, regardless of where you play, when you play, and who you play. Is your approach going to be the same in terms of your overall aggressiveness? So, but like I said, we've done a decent job up until this point.
We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, as we are going one-on-one talking TCU men's basketball. And from what I've been able to see online and just some, reading some of your quotes, I mean, there's just been so much optimism coming into this season. I mean, what do you believe? What does your gut tell you in terms of what the Frogs may be able to accomplish? Because from one thing, when you look at your roster, I mean, you guys, you're pretty athletic. I mean, you're going to be able to handle some of the blows within the Big 12 because it's a physical conference.
Well, we got blows we got to handle come Saturday versus UTSA. But, you know, for me, it's not coach speak. It's just, you know, continue to grind, continue to try to be better every day, whether it's practices, whether it's how you carry yourself and conduct yourself socially, academically, and athletically. And if you can do those kind of things, I think whatever your goals may be as an individual or as a team, you know, you'll collectively be able to achieve those at the end of the year, which is basically maximizing your ability. So, you know, like I said, it's early, and we've been real consistent up until this point. But, you know, before we get to Big 12 play, we got three more games we got to play. And then when we get there, we all know how that is. And it's, for me, the question I have is, are we going to be able to approach those games versus high-caliber competition? And quite frankly, you know, I haven't looked at it a lot, but I got to believe there's probably nine teams in the Big 12 that are in the top 40, about five or six that are ranked. So, you know, that's going to be a challenge with itself. But the key for us is our approach and remain healthy and continue to stay the course when things get tough, regardless who it is.
You know, you got to love the fact, too, you're getting so much play and production from a number of players. I mean, you were talking about collective. You're getting that collective effort. And even within your scoring, Trent, I mean, it has really been evenly distributed.
Yeah, you know, we don't, with exception of Keenan, I don't think we have a guy we don't have a guy that you can say he's going to go out and get you, you know, 18 or 16 and, you know, 5 or 16 or 9, whatever it may be every night. So we're basically a group of guys that are pretty solid as individuals, which when we're playing well and we're playing together, we're a pretty solid basketball team. That's the word I like to use. And it's nice just because of a kid like Kendrick Williams, he doesn't worry about scoring. You know, he's probably one of our three or four top players, and he comes off the bench. But his whole thing is he's more worried about rebounding, and it means something to him. He's more worried about defending, which means something to him. It's important to him. And so when you get a kid or two like that in your program, who's a good player, I mean, you know, you got a chance to be successful.
But, you know, when I look at what Kyan Anderson, he's averaging, 12 points per game. Last year, I mean, Trent, he averaged 17 points, and he was in double figures in 16 conference games. I mean, what has changed in terms of with his game? I mean, it feels like the onus isn't on him so much more because now you've got so many more players that can create and contribute.
Well, you know, Kyan's percentages from the field, three-point line, free throw line, they're all up. His consistent turnover ratio is good, but the thing with Kyan right now is he's playing with a healthy roster for the first time, knock on wood, in his career since I've been here. I mean, he's, you know, last year he's put in a situation where his backup four man was Thomas Montego, 6'1" walk on, and then Jarvis Ray was playing the four at 6'6", who was really a three. So the bottom line is Kyan is, you know, his team's helped keep the guys around him are better players and they're healthy. And probably the most important thing is he knows that our success is going to be predicated on how well we defend. And, you know, if you can defend at the point of attack, which is out front with your point guard, and you got good post presence like we do with Kavar and those guys around the basket, you have a chance to be in games and win games versus high-caliber competition. But the key in all of it with Kyan is winning now. It's winning. But his individual performance and what he did last year with an under-man roster was pretty impressive in my mind. As he continued to play, he'd come out every day.
Big 12 basketball conversation with TCU head coach Trent Johnson. We'll continue here in just a moment at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back. Hey, we're glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. As we continue our conversation, we're going one-on-one with Trent Johnson, TCU head men's basketball coach, and talking about Kyan Anderson. I mean, how much success is dependent on him? I mean, because he is that senior.
Well, we have three good quality seniors. And Trey Ziegler, who set out last year, starts in health, and Aaron McBills, who's you know, about 75%, if I could put a percentage on him in terms of returning. He's probably one of our more talented players when he's healthy. But again, it's not any one individual. You know, Keen is our leader. I mean, he's logged the most minutes since I've been here in 3 years. And he was almost mentioned all-league player last year. So, but the key is he's taking care of the ball. He's defending better. I mean, there's better players around him. So, you know, we're able to, you know, you look at his minutes, which is the key. Is last year at the time, he was averaging about 35 minutes a game. I think right now he's around 24. So that speaks volumes for guys like Chauncey Collins, who's a freshman, who's really talented. Giving me the luxury to be able to spell Ken. And it gives, you know, a guy like Mike Williams from San Antonio, another point guard who's a sophomore, played some minutes last year. So those guys enable us to rest Ken. You know, in the Corpus Christi, it's a tournament. We played Mississippi State, and, you know, Ken probably had 2 points and fouled out. And we were able to win that game versus the SEC team in a neutral court. So that speaks volumes to, you know, the player Chauncey, the player Mike Williams, and also we were able to put Trey Williams and let him play someone. So we're a lot more balanced than what we've been in the past.
Oh, there is a lot of balance when you talk about the Frogs. And I think what's interesting, Trent, is that you had just brought up the name Trey Ziegler. I want to hear some more about the impact and difference that he can make, because as you had just mentioned, he sat out last year. He was a transfer from Pittsburgh. He's a 6'5 guard. And what, he even spent 2 years as a standout at Central Michigan, correct?
Yeah. Well, he played for his dad at Central Michigan.
Ernie. Oh, okay.
And coming out of high school, he was a McDonald's caliber player. And, you know, we're still trying to get the rust off of him. But anytime, you know, this game's hard enough to play if you're out there every day. And he, along with Chris Washburn, you know, sat last year. So, not, you know, he's starting to come around. But he's a guy that's capable of playing a 1-3 for us. I mean, he can play some point guard for us, excuse me. And, you know, he's a what I call a volume scorer. You know, everything he needs to do is attacking the basket. And he likes to put it on the floor and get in lanes and so on and so forth. But he gives us a lot of leadership. He gives us a lot of maturity because he's played a lot of basketball over the years. But, and I fully expect him to start playing better. I should say play better, scoring the ball better, because I think his percentages are right around 39% or 40%. And, you know, so, but he's getting there.
Trey Ziegler, he's got that leadership, that maturity, as you were saying, a volume score. How beneficial was it for him, you know, when you transfer, you're sitting out? I mean, because you really do, you've got the best seat in the house. I mean, you get a different perspective when you're watching your future teammates and seeing some of the nuances of the games and how you're going to be able to fit in, mesh, and to acclimate.
Well, during practice, you get acclimated to the system. And then, obviously, I've heard this from a lot of kids who've been in that position, whether it's been redshirt or whether it's been injured. They get this chance to watch the game from a coach's perspective. And so it's real beneficial. But for the coach, it's not very beneficial, because when you got good players sitting out, you sort of want them on the floor. And I had about four of them sitting out last year. So, but no, it's, it really helps the kid, you know. And again, you just wish when they sit out and then you're able to play them in some kind of games or let them play in the summer where they could get the rust off. But it helped Trey just in terms of that. And Chris Washington helped those two just in terms of being in practice every day and learning the system.
TCU's head coach Trent Johnson joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, we love hearing from you at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to this wonderful interview with Coach Johnson at our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. And, you know, Trent, I really have been fascinated with the job that you've done. This is your third season as a head coach, and you really have had to overcome a number of challenges and obstacles. I mean, last year in conference play, I know it was difficult, 0-18. But when you really zero in on that, you guys had to muscle through a ton of injuries and key players. What do you learn from that when you go through that and be able to translate that message to the kids? Because I'm sure there's extra motivation coming in saying, that's not going to happen to us again.
Well, you know, it speaks volumes to a couple of seniors we had last year, Jarvis Ray and Thomas Monago, because those guys, you know, both playing out of position and what they went through. And for the most part, the kids never stopped coming to practice and never stopped trying to compete in practice, let alone compete in games. But I've always been a firm advocate of, you know, mental toughness is being consistent 24/7, both socially, academically, and athletically. And one of the things we talk about and I talked about regardless is, you know what, you're getting a pretty good education from TCU, which is one of the premier academic institutions
sure.
in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You get an opportunity to play at a high level, and you get an opportunity to play basketball. So woes may, if you can't overcome, you can't deal with some of the things that have been put in front of us. So, you know, but it's one thing to talk about them as a coach or as a staff, but it's another thing to believe it as players and kids. And I think these guys did an excellent job of that. So for me, it's, you know, it's always been, hey, a lot of other people around here got a lot worse off than we do. So they need to do this, and you guys have an opportunity to coach it, I mean, to play and get an education. So it's always been that. Just put it in perspective.
Coach, how do you build, though, mental toughness? I mean, what separates a good player from a great player? How do you build that?
A lot of it's recruiting. But, you know, and it's habits. You know, when you say build mental toughness, I think, you know, it's who you are every day when things aren't going well. That's who you are every day. I mean, you know, I talk about, you know, your aggressiveness and when you're playing against somebody who's really good. How do you carry yourself when things aren't going well, when you go to school or you're out? I mean, you know, that's all mental toughness. Everybody can be tough when things are going well for them. But, you know, and you have to be consistent in your behavior, I think so. You know, it's a process, and you know, again, being consistent in your approach, whether you're the coach or whether you're the teacher or whether you're supposed to be the captain or the best player, it's all about consistency in your approach and how you go about living your life every day.
Yeah, exciting things happening at TCU. Tell me about the renovation that's taking place with your basketball facility.
Well, all I know is this: the construction guys are working extremely hard because there's a lot of bulldozers right outside my office. So, I mean, it's, you know, from what I know, and I don't know a lot about construction, but they're working morning, noon, and night. It's a really exciting time on campus. We're able to practice in our practice facility, and then also we play our games, as people well know, at Wilkerson Granites. And then we'll play probably one game, maybe two, at our rec center on campus. But, you know, it's something that's exciting. It's something that's down the line a little bit. Obviously, we're supposed to be in there hopefully by November 1st of next year. But, you know, my whole MO, and like I talked to our guys about, we got a lot of games we got to win between now and then. And that's the most important thing. But it is exciting.
TCU is 10-0 right now. We've been talking about his men's basketball team. That, of course, is the head coach, Trent Johnson, who's been joining us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Congratulations on your early success. Keep it going, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you for having me. You're great.
Oh, thank you. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Stay close. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. As promised, it is time to lace it up. We're going to hit on some NBA news and notes, especially in the Western Conference. Golden State right now, they are rolling. I had an opportunity last weekend to watch them up close and personal in Dallas as they face the Mavs. And my takeaways, all I can say is that the Warriors, they are absolutely for real. Steve Kerr has done a fantastic job, certainly with his Splash Brothers. It is a pleasure to welcome in our very own Yahoo Sports NBA writer, Mark Spears. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac, Real People, Real Value, Real Simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season in SCORE at score.com. Good evening, Mark. It's nice to have you with us.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's always good to talk some hoops. And there is no doubt Golden State is one of the most exciting teams to watch. When you break it all down, Mark, and you examine the Warriors, is this a team that can continue to sustain this level of play and excellence? I mean, I know they took it on the nose on Tuesday night against Memphis, but they look like a champion.
Well, I picked them to win it, and I live in the Bay Area, so I probably got a lot of heat about it. But actually, probably harder on them than anybody else. I just saw, based on their off-season moves and the growth of this team, you know, how they could be potentially special. You know, Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry, and he'll be an MVP candidate. But a guy like Klay Thompson, I think he really grew playing with USA Basketball this past summer. Gained a lot of confidence that he could be a special player in this league. And I think they've made some really smart moves, you know, adding guys like Sean Livingston and Leandro Barbosa and getting Spates back. And, you know, now the health is key, obviously, very key. But, you know, Bogut is back, even though he's been out of late. He's back on the roster, relatively healthy. Festus Ezeli's healthy. And keep in mind, this is a team that was a game away from knocking off the Clippers in the playoffs without Bogut, without Ezeli. And I think the new coaching staff made a smart move, putting Harrison Barnes back in the starting lineup and putting Iguodala off the bench. And, you know, I definitely have to give credit to Draymond Green, who, you know, the Warriors have been able to do all this without an injured David Lee. So they haven't even really been at full strength this whole season, and they've still been able to play that well, which leads me to wonder just how good they'll be, you know, after jumping in off to that 20-2 start. But just how good will they be once they're totally healthy? And I just think there is no roster that is better from 1 through 15. There's no roster that has a better backcourt. And they have size, athleticism, and the best bench in the league to all come together to be a very exciting, talented, and championship-caliber team.
I really do have it all. You are listening to the voice of Mark Spears, NBA writer with Yahoo Sports. Does outstanding work. You got to check him out online. And, you know, it is so much fun to watch them, Mark, offensively, but I have just seen such vast improvement on the defensive end. And the defensive numbers, the rankings, the ratings, I mean, it really says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, they added two great assistant coaches, one Alvin Gentry, like their offensive coordinator, and another one to Steve Kerr's staff, Ron Adams, who's the defensive guy. And he really, really has them locked in. I mean, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, Steph was probably viewed as a liability defensively before this season. But now he's viewed as a guy that, you know, is really putting in the effort on the defensive end and making it tough. And so they've really bought in and bought in quick. You would think that there would be a learning curve with this team, with a new coach. And, you know, Kerr's off to the greatest start for a coach in NBA history. And I think that's not only credit to him, but to having veteran assistant guys who've been there, done that, have the respect of the players. And, you know, I think this team has a chance to be, you know, special, and also because they're good on both ends of the floor.
Well, you bring up a great point. I mean, Steve Kerr, I mean, he won 5 titles as a player. He, too, obviously made some savvy moves with his coaching staff. I love Ron Adams. Spent time around him. Alvin Gentry. How are they? How are they able to get the guys to buy in defensively? Because when you look at Curry and Thompson, I mean, they're not viewed as great defenders.
Yeah, well, no, Klay has been. But I just think maybe the USA basketball experience helped, you know, Steph from a defensive standpoint, too, because I think he did have his struggles over the summer. And when you go to USA basketball and Coach K is looking at the tape, they ain't no favorites on that team. You know, so they're not going to be like, well, we won't say nothing because it's Steph. No, Steph, look what you did. And perhaps that was a way he got better defensively, was playing with USA basketball, and it carried over. And I think he's just learned a lot quickly from Ron Adams, too. I'm pleasantly surprised to see Steph being talked about on the defensive part. Offensively, I dare to say he's the most fun guy to watch in the league.
Oh, yeah.
He's just spectacular, dribbling the ball, shoots the ball fast. It's rare that he even touches the rim on a shot. And he's a great guy to boot, man. Just really pleasure to be around. And, you know, I do a lot of Warriors games because I live in the Bay Area. And there's not many stars in the league that are better guys than him. So the success couldn't happen to a better guy.
A lot of buzz about Curry, leading MVP candidate perhaps. And you're right. I mean, Mark, I mean, he is such a tough cover. He's got that quick crossover, such a dynamic player. Let me ask you this. When you watched the game tape against Memphis the other night, I mean, how were they able to be successful and to finally go ahead and stop the streak? I mean, they'd won 16 in a row, but how do you beat Golden State?
Well, right now they've got some injury problems that are starting to catch up to them. I mean, first it was David Lee. Now it's Bogut. Harrison Barnes took a nice shot to the nose, but, you know, he's tough, being tough and fighting it out. I think if they're at full strength, it's going to be tough. The thing that does seem to be a weakness for them at times is turning the ball over. They got to get better in that regard. And they've slowly gotten better, but it definitely still is a big concern for them, which, you know, got exploited by the Spurs. And I'm curious to see how the Warriors play against the Spurs the next time. But right now, there's not really a lot of weaknesses on this team.
We are so glad you're with us. Mark Spears, NBA writer with Yahoo Sports, is joining us this evening. Connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always go back and listen to our podcast at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Tell me some more about David Lee. I mean, how do you see him fitting in and the type of impact that he can make? Obviously, they're going to need him if they want to make a deep run and win it all.
Yeah, there's a big debate going on in the Bay Area about amongst Warriors fans as to whether David Lee should come off the bench or start when he comes back. And he's been a starter in pretty much his whole career. Draymond Green has been fantastic in his absence. And when a team is winning, what can you really say?
Yeah.
I mean, he can't come in and make a bunch of demands to start if the team is succeeding without him. And so I don't... I expect him to probably come off the bench whenever he comes back, and maybe that's closer to the new year. Doesn't seem like the end of the tunnel's on the horizon for him. But when he comes back, you're adding a guy that can score mid-range, can score inside, rebounds. Maybe isn't the best defender in the world, but perhaps the way the team is playing will make him a better defender or get him to push for more effort. But I'm a David Lee fan. I think he's really going to push this team forward to a higher level. And, you know, the one thing that's tough for Draymond is, you know, the power forward position with the elite in the West is filled with really tall guys like Dirk, like Tim Duncan, like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think they'll have more options to balance that out.
Hey, Mark Spears, NBA writer with Yahoo Sports, has been joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. No doubt, Golden State, one of the most intriguing NBA stories that we're tracking and covering. And, Mark, it's your first time on the show. We enjoyed being with you, and we look forward to catching up with you some more and getting your perspective. Thank you so much.
All right, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Absolutely, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, too. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Yes, indeed. We are back with you tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio down here in Houston, Texas. And we are inside the Quicken Loan Studios. Before we get underway, remember, we want to connect with you at Twitter at eRadioSports and always email the show at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. It is time to go under the helmet with our weekly NFL, our college football analyst and contributor, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, and of course was one of the best ever to have played and been a part of Tom Osborne's system. And that is one of our favorites, the double nickel, Jason Peter, who I am sure has been a very good boy this year. And Santa is going to bring him, a new Range Rover?
Oh, that would be nice. I don't know if we're going to do gifts, maybe that, dig that deep into the pockets, but maybe the wife or Santa can find something for me.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, for all those Cornhusker fans, I think Christmas came a little bit early as you guys got a new head coach in Mike Riley, 61 years old, and just kind of give us, Jason, because we didn't get into this last week. I mean, what's been the reaction and the pulse of from the Cornhusker Nation? Because honestly, I mean, and you and I talked about this, nobody saw this hire coming.
Yeah, it's been mixed, and it still is kind of mixed. I think, you know, you have people that obviously thought Bo Pelini should still be the coach. They were happy with winning, you know, the nine games. You know, and it all sounded good, I think, for, you know, when you look at it at the surface. But when you looked at some of the losses, not really even the wins, the losses were bad, and they were usually the games that you kind of needed to have the most. And but, you know, some people remember the days of Bill Callahan. And, you know, I remember them too. And everybody was saying, gosh, we just want a team that, you know, will play hard and have a winning season and play in bowl games. And we got kind of all those things with Bo Pelini. And you know, the list, you could go down and check all the boxes for the most part, except at the end of the day, Nebraska football has never been about just winning games, at least the way that I know it. It's always been about winning championships. And I think if you start getting comfortable with, you know, just winning 9 games and not really competing for championships, I think then ultimately the university or the school, whichever you're at or you're a fan of, that just then becomes the norm. You know, it just becomes the norm that and acceptable that, you know, well, as long as we have 9 wins this year, you know, we're happy. You know, the championships and the domination, that becomes a thing of the past. And then, you know, you almost talk about it like it was the days of black and white TV, and your fan base then, you know, doesn't even remember those times. And that's a dangerous kind of area to be hovering around. So, you know, I think they had to make a change, and I think a lot of people understand that and are supportive, but you still have people that, you know, I think feel that Bo deserved at least another year, and, you know, it seems like we've had this conversation for the last 3 years about whether or not Bo Pelini deserves another year. But, you know, Tom Osborne had come out and he had said, without really supporting Mike Riley, and it's not that he wasn't not supporting him, but he just kind of directed his comments at the fan base saying, you know, everybody needs to kind of be supportive of the coach and, you know, at least give him a shot you know, whether or not this thing is going to be a success or not.
Jason Peter with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And I think one of the things when you evaluate the University of Nebraska just and the fan base, the relationship with the head coach, it is so critical. And from what I've seen just watching the press conference with Mike Riley, I like him. I mean, he comes across as a really nice guy, and he's got to kind of repair some of that relationship with the fans and with that head coaching position, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think whether you're talking about the NFL or college, whenever there's a new coach and the previous coach has left, you know, not necessarily for retirement, but more for not meeting expectations, usually the next guy in is kind of the opposite of what that guy was. Whether, you know, you go, you have an offensive coach that gets fired, you know, usually they'll go defense and vice versa. And if you have a hot-blooded coach, kind of like Bo Pelini was, well, then you're going to go with more of the mild-mannered guy, who, you know, maybe just from an outsider's view is someone who's, you know, very calculating and doesn't react to things maybe as emotionally as Bo Pelini does. And I think that's what you got with Mike Riley. You know, people have been trying to connect dots ever since this hire was announced, and you know, I don't know if there'll ever be a clear picture. You know, Sean Eichhorst is the only one, the athletic director, who kind of knows how everything exactly went down. But, you know, they kind of talk about how he has Tom Osborne-like qualities. And
I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what they've been trying to sell the university to the fan base. Although Tom Osborne was never consulted on the hire, I think that's probably why maybe you got or have gotten some of the not comments, but I just think what Tom Osborne has given in interviews since the hiring, you know, is pretty much just, I don't know him, you know, Mike Riley personally. I've seen him coach from afar. And, you know, he seems to be a good human being. You know, he's going to kind of hold out judgment as well as to whether or not he's going to be successful and he's going to, you know, lead Nebraska back to the promised land. It's, you know, he's kind of taken an approach, I think, that a lot of the fans have taken.
Well, and I understand, too, he's got a very solid reputation with high school coaches, but don't be fooled by what the warm fuzzies, the gentle demeanor, because I bet he is a very competitive guy.
Yeah, and you've seen that over the years with his Oregon State teams that, you know, when you look at that Pac-12, I mean, clearly they're not at the top of the pecking order, you know, with recruits and but on numerous occasions, he's taken Oregon State teams that, you know, probably greatly overachieved. And, you know, they beat, you know, number one or number two ranked USC and you know, similar games like that. And those are the big games that Nebraska's kind of been lacking under Bo Pelini. We were never able to go somewhere on the road or be it at home and beat a number one or a top five ranked opponent. We just could never do it in the 7 years that Bo was here. So I'm sure that played, you know, a role in Sean Eichhorst's decision.
Hey, Jason Peter with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And so as an alum, as I said in the open, one of the greatest players to have ever been a part of this program, what advice would you give Mike Riley?
Well, I think, you know, some of the things that he did up at Oregon State obviously would be great to have here, but I also think some of them will fly. You know, he had practices open to the public, you know, all the time.
He did that at Oregon State, though, I understand,
which
is sweet.
And he said, you know, basically I knew everybody that had, you know, would come and watch. It was usually, you know, three or four retired high school coaches that he knew or, you know, some guys that lived down the street.
Right.
You know, in Nebraska, you'd have, you know, 60,000 people there every day watching practice. And that's a great thing on one hand. But on the other hand, you know, you're not going to be able to do some of those things. But like you said, the relationship between the head coach and the fan base is crucial in this state, and he's got to find that balance as to how much, you know, he can kind of, you know, give to the fans and you know, what he has to kind of shut off, because obviously there's a lot that goes into, you know, game weeks and game planning and stuff like that, and you just don't ever want to let any tricks, you know, out into the open before you've had a chance to kind of execute them on Saturday.
Jason, we certainly look forward to talking to you the day after Christmas and getting some more perspective on a number of things, not only with the bowl games, but also in the NFL. So Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jason. Much more straight ahead tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Don't you dare go anywhere. We will be right back.